really enjoy the wonderful song service. That's so uplifting. That, our worship service doesn't start now, you know. It started when we began, hopefully before you got here, praying for the meeting and the wonderful songs, a good humble prayer. I appreciate that so very much. It's good to hear about yesterday's meeting. Good feedback. I wish we could have been here. But I pray that the Lord will continue on with us as we attempt for a few minutes anyway to give the praise to Him. That's what we're here for. Any other reason is not biblical. It's to give Him all the praise and the glory. You know, the Jews were asking Christ questions, which is good questions. It's a better answer, you know, when Christ would answer them. 22nd chapter, book of Matthew, the 29th verse, they were asking Him some questions. You know what His answer was? You do err, not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God. You know, we still are faced with that in our worship service. God's children worshiping Him, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. When we realize He has all power, there's nothing that He cannot do. That song, 115th Psalm in the third verse, I believe it is, says, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." Isn't that a wonderful scripture? He's not trying to save us eternally, you know. If it's pleasing to the Lord to do anything, it will be done, you know. Whatever is pleasing to Him, because saving His people is part of the power of God that we so much overlook. Paul was talking to that church at Corinth, 3rd chapter, the 12th verse. He said, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." They didn't have the New Testament then. When Christ was talking to those Jews about not knowing the Scripture, He was talking to the Scripture that they had, looking toward the fulfillment of those verses in Christ Himself. So even when we read the Old Testament, if we can look toward Christ, toward the church, in those, it will simplify those things. If I don't use great plainness of speech, it's too complicated for me, brothers and sisters. I can assure you that I won't understand it. Those things that we look at as very deep, very technical, if we can just look to what the fulfillment of that is, it makes it simple enough for me to understand anyway, because that's what it was written for. Those Jews had the prophecies written toward them, sometime in shadows and things that seemed to be very complicated. But if we look for Christ in that, if we look for Him in that verse, it's easy for historians to look at saying, "Well, that really happened." But what about the spiritual part? We can look at Israel as a nation, Jerusalem, but we need to look for spiritual Jerusalem, spiritual Israel in that, because that's us. When we go back to a book of Ezekiel, which is really complicated, and I think, well, that's too deep for me, and it is, unless you use great plainness of speech, great plainness of understanding to try to see what the Lord is talking to those Jews about through Ezekiel at that period of time. Have you ever felt like we're all surrounded by enemies? I mean, the government, the courts, everybody is trying to harm our worship service, our little meetings, God's people today, by passing laws. To me, that's the whole lesson in the book in the Old Testament. It started with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was preaching toward, look out, Jerusalem, look out, Israel, you're going into bondage. Well, Hezekiah entered that. It followed Jeremiah, but Hezekiah began to warn those. We don't know much about Hezekiah, or I don't anyway. Others may. We know that he was a son of a priest, you know, which got him in real deep trouble with Babylon to start with. He was carried into captivity about 597 B.C., was in captivity about 5 years when he began to prophesy. He was married, and his wife died while he was in captivity. So did Ezekiel, too, by the way. He was killed, you know, after the prophecy. Don't know how long he prophesied, you know. Ezekiel, I think about 5 in, or 29 and 17, says in the 22nd year of his prophecy, he was prophesying that part of it. Might have been longer, but the point I'm getting at here is these were lessons to God's people. Just they were written to the Jews, but they're for us. So when we begin looking at what happened in the warnings of the Old Testament, and Paul and others were warning the church at that New Testament time, preaching from those things, the fulfillment of those things. So I'm going to stick with Ezekiel for a few minutes. Hopefully we can not get complicated with that, because it's not, if you look at the purpose of it, to the Jews. Because the first 24 chapters is a warning. It's a warning to national Israel about their ways that they were doing, turning away from worshiping God in a manner. That's a warning to us today too, by the way. 25th through about the 32nd chapter, all of those that were surrounding Israel. Now picture this, brothers and sisters. We're surrounded by the same strong enemies. The lesson's for us now. What do we do when it seems like everybody around us is mightier than we are, more powerful in positions of authority, and trying to harm us? Picture Israel at that time surrounded by those great nations that hated Israel. Now, it's amazing when you look at numbers. You know, there were 6 great empires talked about in the Bible in the kingdom of God. Ezekiel shows 6 nations and then Israel. So, you know, the number 7 is always a good news number to me, you know. But what happened with all of those mighty nations? Picture yourself as a little church or a little nation, and the mighty nations around you want to destroy you. And that's what he's talking about here. 33rd chapter of Ezekiel talks about Jerusalem. Where's the watchman? You know, the watchman's not watching those things. And Israel suffered because of that. Where's our watchman? You know, where are those? Thank heavens for the old Baptists that worship in spirit and in truth, watching for our doctrine, watching for the great power, knowing, well, we don't really know the great power of God, but we do know that he has it all. And he does whatever he has placed. He won't lose a single one of his. Neither did he lose Israel in the final end. When you go to the 34th through the 48th chapter, it's great blessings Ezekiel talks about. Look what the great blessings are. These are things before they happen too. Warnings, it talks about all of those, starting with the 25th chapter. Picture, if you look at a map at Israel, picture the nations around Israel today, and you won't find them except one, named as they were in the 25th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, because the Lord was prophesying against those nations. Look at the Ammonites, way up in the upper right-hand corner of where Israel is. You know why the Lord said he was against them? It was the Lord that was going to take care of Israel, not Israel itself. We don't have strength and power. We can resist, but it's through his almighty power that he was watching over Israel. You know why he was against them? Bible says, Ezekiel says, because they were clapping their hands and stamping their feet. In other words, they were dancing in the street every time something happened to Israel. The Assyrians would carry them into captivity, the Babylonians, and they would rejoice. That upset the Lord. You know, they were rejoicing at his people suffering with the Ammonites. And he warned against what was going to happen to each one of those. They would be found against the nations no more, you know. What about just below those? This is on the right side of Israel. That's the Moabites. You know the problem that the Lord had with Moabites, keeping it simple so we can understand. The old Baptists today, I mean, there's people around us that will unite against us, our doctrine. And yet they will unite together against us, but they're all separate. That's what happened with Moab. Moab, Babylonians were further east than the Moabites. They joined forces together to attack Israel. That upset the Lord, you know, because they would, you know, it's amazing the way the world works. After they attacked Israel, then the Babylonians attacked Moab. They're friends, you know. They wanted, as long as it's against spiritual Israel, people will unite in fighting against those things. The Lord was upset with those. We know what's below, at the very end of the Dead Sea, was the land of Esau, the Edomites. We could go all the way back and look at why the Lord was against Edom. You know, even Herod the Great, when Christ was born, was an Edomite, placed as a governor over Israel. That's the last I can find where that nation ever existed, the nation of Edom, because it ended at that point. So all these nations around, just as the church today, spiritual Israel, is faced with everybody around us trying to attack. The lesson to me in all of this book of Ezekiel is that, look at maybe the north, what is that, west corner? The Philistines were in further down to the left of toward the sea. You know, we read in the Bible about the Philistines. You know what the Bible says, why the Lord was against the Philistines? Remember David. David hit that Philistine giant with a rock. Philistine was still upset about that. 400 years later, they were still upset about that part, because the Bible calls that an old hatred. They had an old hatred for the Jews because of the history. We can go back into history and see what happened to the Philistines. Above that was a Phoenician nation. There's six nations here. I'm trying not to get too complicated. Just picture a map, just surrounded by all of those were Tyre and Sidon. They were great cities in the Phoenician nation. 26th chapter and 27th chapter of Ezekiel talks about what happens to them, but you can see our Lord in so much of those prophecies that happen. When we begin looking at the things that happened with those nations, you know, we hear about Palestine on our news. When you hear about Palestine on the news, that's where the giants were. And all of those back in biblical history, it's the same. The Philistines and Palestine now are the same nation, just to picture what was surrounded. Here's something I want us to think about. That river that flows from Galilee down to the Dead Sea. Galilee, where Christ chose his apostles to start. All the way down to the Dead Sea where the Edomites are. You know that river in between is not the Moabite River. It's not the Ammonite River, you know. It's not any river named after any country that surrounded them. It's the River Jordan. When the Lord prophesied that they would not be found again amongst the nations, guess all those nations on the east side that I just named, that's all Jordan now. They're gone. When the Lord prophesied that they would no longer exist, they don't. Think about that, church. You know, the Lord is watching over his people. Israel, spiritual Israel, will always exist. And the lesson there is, the enemies are on the outside. In this world, we shall have tribulation. Anybody not have that, you know? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's tough for me, to be of good cheer. When things are going wrong, Lord said, be of good cheer. Those things that are important is what we need to concentrate on. Put it in his hands. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Now, the only nation amongst all those that were named, five of them no longer exist on the map currently, except Egypt. Now, why is Egypt different? When the Bible begins to talk about Egypt, there was a promise against Egypt that they would become desolate. You know, the rivers dried up in Egypt when you look at their history. They became a desolate place. The people had to leave Egypt to go find some other place to live. You know how long they lasted? 40 years. Egypt was carried into bondage by a drought for 40 years. You know, that's the exact amount of time that the children of Israel were in the desert. 40 years. Well, Egypt lost its nation for 30 years. The Bible then says Egypt will continue to exist, but never again gain its power over that whole country as it had at that time. This was all written before it happened, when we begin to look at Egypt and what they had gone through. They exist as a nation now, but just as a small, tiny spot. So when we look at the book of Ezekiel, which is complicated, but as Paul said, use great plainness of speech and understanding. Beyond that, I can't comprehend it. But if we keep in mind what the lesson is to a spiritual Israel today, all those mighty nations surrounding us, the Lord has power to watch over. Now, Israel never ceased becoming God's people as we want, but he can cheer because of our watchmen not keeping an eye on those things that are occurring, with us beginning to worship those things and bring other things into the church. 1 Chronicles 16th chapter, I believe it is. If you look at all the nations that surrounded them when they were defeated, by the way, what happened? They became servants to Israel and brought gifts. You know, okay, we're going to be a servant to you, Israel, and we're going to bring gifts, except one. There's always an exception. The only people the Bible says that brought no gifts was the Edomites. Edom brought no gifts to Israel. There's nothing good in Edom, the lineage of Esau, that needs to be brought into Israel at all. Because when the Bible says that, it says they became David's servants, period. No gifts at all. But when we read a book, and a very complicated book like Ezekiel and some of those, try to picture spiritual Israel in there somewhere. That 26th chapter of the book of Ezekiel is such a beautiful picture. He spent three chapters talking about Tyre and Zidon. Z-I-D-O-N in the Old Testament, S-I-D-O-N in the New Testament, because they were a Phoenician city, that state, very, very powerful. But there's 81 prophecies in that 26th chapter of Ezekiel. Each one has been fulfilled just exactly like Ezekiel said it was going to be before that it happened. Babylon tried for 13 years to take that little town of Tyre. For 13 years. Here comes Alexander and takes it in 7 months. How did that happen, you know? Alexander read the book of Ezekiel. I don't think he probably did, but it went exactly the way that he said it would. Now, how can we look at that and see our Savior? How can we look at that little one chapter and see our church and our God in that? It starts out, you know, that many nations would come up against Tyre, as the sea against the water against the seashore. What if the first nation came up? What if Babylon came in and taken it? That prophecy would not have been fulfilled. Ever one of those 81, maybe more, that's all I can count, 81 in that one chapter, prophecies have been fulfilled before that it happened. Now, where's the Lord in that? Tyre was a great port city, Phoenician city. That's where we get the term phoenix, you know, for Phoenicians. They were great record keepers, very powerful. There were many armies that were at that little place. So where's the Lord in this? You know, here come Alexander thinking, how am I going to take that little island just off the port? And you're familiar with this, I think. He looked around behind and saw a rubbled city, just like Ezekiel said he would, but he didn't know it. He began to take all that rubble and put it out of sight into the ocean, under the water, just like Ezekiel said he would, built a causeway out to that island. You know, what's left when you take all the dust, all the great works of man's hands, and you put it out of sight? What's left? The rock. That's Christ. After you take all the great works of man's hands, put them out of sight, bury them in the water, Christ is left. Matthew, remember, if you build your house upon sand, what's going to happen? Great is the fall of it when great weather comes in. But if it's built upon the rock, upon Christ itself, each one of these defeats showed the power of God. Nowhere, Ezekiel said, by the word of the Lord. The Lord was telling us what he was going to do to protect Israel, his country, his nation, just as he's going to protect us, folks. We may suffer, but we will never, ever cease to exist. This church is going to be somewhere until the end of time. But we need to do that great warnings that Ezekiel talked about in the first part of that. We need to heed those warnings. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't bring in things from the outside that will affect our worship. Things may happen to us. We may go into bondage, in prison, you know. Ask Paul. I mean, he was whipped and beheaded. I mean, all of that. But the church still exists. We are preaching today the very same gospel that Paul preached, that all in the New Testament. We are hopefully will not err, not understanding the scripture, even the Old Testament, but the new now, the fulfillment of that, nor the power of God. Always remember the power of God, that he will do whatever he pleases in saving his people. So what's the purpose of the gospel? You know, you get aggravated watching TV sometime about what the Lord can't do, you know. Where is that not understanding the power of God? You know, Paul told that young man, Timothy, and I'll bring it to an end for that. There's too much there to get into, but he said, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. I don't know of a more plain way to say that. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, 2 Timothy 1:9, and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I heard a minister on TV one time accidentally said that. He said, you know, that was a long time ago. That wasn't really a good way to explain that, but it was a long time ago, before the world began. But is now the gospel made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's so familiar with us. It did not bring life and immortality. It brought life and immortality to light. As you have heard so many times, it shined a light on what the Lord has done. It is his power. We should not worry about, and what a blessing it is not to worry about our eternal destination. That same God that took care of Israel in the Old Testament, you know, that spiritual Israel exists today. National Israel still exists by name. So does Egypt, with no power at all. But those still surrounding Israel, even today, the Syrians, which were above Jordan, they're not great friends, but they don't have any power right now to try to attack again. All those nations named in the 25th chapter of Ezekiel, now Jordan, you know, crossing the river Jordan. Christ was baptized in the river Jordan, not the river by any other name of all those mighty nations that existed at that time. What a marvelous, powerful God that we have. He will do whatsoever he hath pleased. Saving us eternally has already been accomplished. But we need to be vigilant and read the warnings. Understand the scripture. If it seems too technical or complicated, just put Christ there. Put the church there. And it will simplify. It does for me. I can't speak for everybody. That's the only way I can understand so much of that Old Testament, by looking what the spiritual meaning of that history is. And it's always back to Christ. Please come forward, Brother Gale.